Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
If anything, this blue season has been a good time.
Well,
probably not successful, but it is fun.
It's been something.
Amy Mark scores, yeah. Chris Ranji on KMOX, and we thought we'd bring in our, well, we didn't think, he has to.
Yeah.
He is slotted in every.
Contractually obligated.
He literally is, every Thursday at 10 o'clock to join us. KMOX Sports Open Lines, Matt Pauly. He is the host of Rush Hour Sports,
mm-hmm.
and Cardinals pre and post game, and countdown to opening day, which is supposed to be on Thursday nights. It's back to Thursday night after Matt has been lying to us for many, many weeks. Matt Pauly, hello.
Hello. I lied to you for 2 weeks. Is 2 weeks
like
many,
three.
Many weeks?
It's like three at least.
Nah.
Yeah.
Hey, every Thursday, countdown to opening day. No, not this Thursday. Not next Thursday either, or the Thursday after that. But we're back to Thursday after you've been a big old liar.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Matt, before we get started, I do have a Blues update that Chris Ranji won't care about, but it is some Blues news.
Did the Blackhawks just score another goal?
They're eighth?
No, but Blues rookie Dalibor Dvorsky has been named to Team Slovakia the Olympic Winter Games in Milano-Cortina 2026. I think that is the fifth Blues player now who has been.
Yeah, Pugh Suter was named yesterday, it's good.
Fourth then.
Okay.
Right? Because Bennington, Parayko for Canada, Suter for Switzerland. Oh, no, fifth. Broberg for Sweden, Dvorsky for Slovakia. Hey,
cool.
This is good stuff. This is good stuff for a kid because. And we'll move on from hockey, I know. But you don't want to downplay what an international tournament can do because Macklin Celebrini in the World Championships, they placed his locker, this kid, who's an absolute stud right now, they placed his locker between Nathan MacKinnon and Sidney Crosby. And he got to sit between those two guys for the entire tournament. He started training with them. And he credits that experience with really changing and amplifying his career. So maybe Dvorsky, the more experience, the better.
All right, we'll be looking for locker placement.
It's very cool, and I hope he loses.
Yes.
Now, what the hell happened last night with Joel Hofer? Why couldn't they get him on the ice? Why wouldn't Jordan Binnington leave the ice? What was going on as the Blues got pounded by the Blackhawks?
Yeah, I ask you, it was a weird situation. Like I'm watching the game, and the Turner folks did a nice job of covering it. What a weird thing. Just weird. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if that's something that they had planned out. I just,
because
it's a really weird thing.
It is. And when you watch the video, I mean, because I hate speculating, but I mean, he kind of looked like he was hiding.
Like, no, please.
He had his mask on, and he was down the hall, because it wasn't even just like, oh, he was down the hall. He had his mask on, which means at some point, he prepared to go out on the ice because goalies don't sit there with their masks on. And then he was way down the hall and peeking around a corner. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
It's just stupid stuff. It's so
frustrating. And every time it's a nationally game, nationally televised game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Binnington did the thing with the puck earlier this year on the national. I was so. I told myself I wasn't going to buy in, and then they get back within 1 point of a playoff spot. It was 3 points, and they'd won two in a row, and they started off, they got 1-0 like a minute into the game last night. Like, I'm feeling great, and then all of a sudden, it's just everybody gets a goal for the Blackhawks. I don't know. I say this, and then give me 2 weeks, I'm going to believe again. But I'm so done with this. I'm so sick and tired of any time there's this like semblance of hope regarding the Blues, that not only do they like puff it out, I mean they throw it into the river. It's just so frustrating.
they puff it out and throw it in the river. I really like that, Matt.
I'm gonna tell somebody someday. Oh, puff it out and throw it in the river. Then I'm mad at them.
That's so good.
And they'll say, what does that mean? I have no idea, but you should do it.
Every time I try to have a good time, you puff it out and throw it in the river. I mean, there's multiple ways to use it.
And I don't want you to explain it.
No, don't explain
no.
it. No. You can puff it out and throw it in the river.
I haven't been awake that long, guys, so I'm not responsible for the words coming out of my mouth.
Can I know, I've been awake forever.
I'm actually really quite jealous of your schedule, because it's the kind of schedule I used to have years ago.
It's a sports guy schedule.
Yeah, man.
Matt and I talked about this on Sports Open Line, because I joined Sports Open Line at 6:30 on Tuesdays.
Nice.
I know. Matt and I were buds. But Matt Matt has a sports guy schedule, and I do not. I could not stay up for the Blues game last night, because I got up super early this morning, so... Yeah, you guys are night owls.
We are. I'm early. I went to bed at like 4:15 today.
I got up at 4:45. We're living in two different time zones.
Man, I don't know what you people are doing. How about SLU basketball? Huge win on the road.
Huge.
The best team in town right now is the men's Billikens basketball team, and they went on the road, won for the first time at VCU last night.
Awesome. So awesome. They're playing great basketball. And Missouri won at Kentucky last night.
That's right.
And Illinois is ranked number 16 in the nation. I mean, you want to talk about
it. They play Rutgers tonight.
Yeah. Great college basketball in the area. But Missouri, I think they're better than Mizzou. I don't know if they're better than Illinois. Illinois is really, really good. It'd be really awesome if we saw SLU and Illinois play in the NCAA tournament this year. I'd be very much rooting for that to play out. But that is just a fantastic win for the Billikens last night. That's one of the toughest places to play in the A-10. That's a tight game. They find a way to win. I was pretty fired up about that. And when we think about the good stuff going on sports-wise, it is really hard to look past St. Louis University, and people are starting to take note. Chaffetz is filling up a little bit more. I mean, this does, speaking of, you know, the start of things, but an actual start of thing that you can believe in, this feels like this is the start of a really special era for Billikens basketball.
So it's a team that's 14-1, and the one knock against them this year is that their schedule hasn't been very difficult. They've won all the games they're supposed to, for the most part. You got that last second loss to Stanford, but otherwise, you know, they've played really well. They've beaten everybody they've needed to, and teams they're better than, oftentimes they beat them soundly.
Yeah, they score a ton of points. And last night wasn't a high-scoring game. Give credit to VCU. VCU is a good team. They held them to 71 points. But prior to that, they had scored over 100 points in three of their last four and 93 in all four of their last four games. So not much you can do about the schedule. That's the plight of good mid-major teams. It's really tough to get good teams to schedule you, even power conference teams to bring you in. That's a scary game. You'd probably like to see them do a little bit more in their multi-team event. No disrespect to Santa Clara and Stanford, but it would have been nice to see some better teams on there. They played a few too many. I thought there were a couple too many non-D1s on there as well. I guess maybe they only played one. Anyways, when they played the non-D1, it's like, what are they doing here? But like that's not something they can really control totally, because teams won't schedule them. So all you can do is take care of business. They lost one time in the non-conference, and it's a game they easily could have won against Stanford. You could make the argument that night before against Santa Clara they should have lost that game. So those two games kind of evened each other out as it was. And now the job is to go into league play and just win and win and win and win and win and win at the tough spots. Win it when you go to, you know, they get that first opportunity at VCU. That's the first really big road game they have in conference play when they go to Dayton coming up later on this year. That's another big opportunity for a road win. You want those quad one road wins, which they got last night.
All right, Matt. Cardinals made a trade yesterday. We talked a little bit about it. Didn't have an opportunity to ask you about the acquisition of the left-handed pitcher Justin Brule.
Yeah, it's just added depth to the organization. Like there were a lot of people who I think tried to put more definition and more meaning into the trade. They had Zach Kent on the roster, on the 40-man roster, who they had picked up earlier in the offseason. They got an opportunity to add Justin Brule. They felt like Brule was better than Kent, and so it's a adding depth to the 40-man roster. I don't know if he's going to be on the big league roster. I don't know if he's going to make the team, but he is somebody who just adds a little bit of depth, and that's what you want to see from your president of baseball operations. Anytime, no matter how small of an improvement it might be, anytime you could incrementally improve any of your rosters, go do it. So he doesn't really profile out as a guy who's going to be a big-time member of this team moving forward. Maybe he is. He had good numbers in his time with the Dodgers earlier on in his career. But I think it was a nice little move for the Cardinals.
So we have discussed the potential trade of Brendan Donovan and Nolan Arenado, which the Cardinals are actively trying to trade Arenado. Chaim Bloom mentioned that on Sports on a Sunday. And that's not news to us. It is also not, I don't know if I want to call it news, but it stands to reason that there's not a whole lot of interest in him right now. That they are having a difficult time finding a trade partner for Arenado. What is sort of interesting is a recent report that Brendan Donovan, maybe the Cardinals are valuing him more than other teams are. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I still think they end up moving him. But when you've got a guy like Donovan, I think you do place the value on him and you move forward. And the league will tell you what the value is because you're going to be getting these other offers for him. But there's nothing wrong when you've got one of the best trade pieces in baseball. There's nothing wrong with having him at a very high value. And if they open up the season with Brendan Donovan on the roster, it certainly is not the end of the world. It's a bit of a gamble. He could get injured. He could have a slow start to the year. His value could go down, but his value could also go up based off other things that happen in baseball. So there's been a bunch of stuff that has been said lately about the Cardinals. There was that report about Donovan, maybe that they value him too high. Buster Olney again talked about the team might release Nolan Arenado, which doesn't, Chaim Bloom has pushed back very, very strongly when given that scenario previously. So I don't know. I just kind of take everything I read right now with a grain of salt. It seems like there's some misinformation out there.
All right. We appreciate you, Matt Pauly. We are looking forward to countdown to opening day tonight. It is tonight, yes?
It is tonight. Ricky Horton and I sit down for close to an hour. It's a long, extended conversation with Ricky, so I hope people tune in to listen to that.
6 o'clock?
Yep.
6 to 8. Awesome. Oh, and Rush Hour Sports at 5.
Yeah, so you got a lot of me tonight, 5 to 8.
And then we got this 15 minutes or so. That's a lot of you.
Yes, it is.
All right, are you going to go take a nap, or what are you going to do?
No, I got to go feed my kid.
Oh. Yeah, that's how I talk breakfast. About, like,
I know,
feeding my
like
dog.
I was going to feed a horse. Like, I got to go feed the horse.
I have to go provide breakfast for my daughter. Is that a better way to say it?
Yeah. I mean, it sounded like you were
I liked
gonna
it.
Put some slop in the trough.
For I'm going to throw it in the river, okay?
Good
Puff
Lord.
It out and throw it in the river.
See you, pal.
Bye.
Yo, Polly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
All right. I'm going to go shove some food down my kid's throat. I'll be back.
I like to feed the horse. It did sound very barn
it
or
did,
farm
right?
oriented.
Yeah, I got to go get the hay ready. All right. Chris and Amy show, we do have Major Garrett. He's coming up at 10:30. We will talk about the events in Minnesota yesterday with Major. And the Gas House Gang at 12 today. It's Bernie Miklas and me. We'll also talk football on that show with Eric Edholm, so you want to listen in on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right. Well, I made the announcement. Well, I didn't make the announcement. I read press release that Blues rookie Dalibor Dvorsky has been named to Team Slovakia for the upcoming Olympics next month, which is very exciting. That makes five of your St. Louis Blues who will be representing their respective countries in the Olympics. And I have a couple of facts that probably most of the listeners already know by the attitude of the text line. It seems like the listeners know a lot. Okay, so the... You know, back in the old, when I was in first grade, right before the USSR fell, right? You had like Czechoslovakia. And then that broke up to the Czech Republic and Slovakia. So Czechoslovakia is gone. That was the name in my head, right? As a kid, Czechoslovakia is gone. We all know that. The Czech Republic, that name has been used recently, still being used. But then you also see Czechia. Do you know the difference between Chechia and the Czech Republic?
They're not the same.
They are the same. I thought they were
Chechia,
not the same.
Oh, no. Chechia and Czech Republic.
Yes. So the Czech...
Not Chechnya.
No, which is different.
Yes.
So Chechia, which is what they will use at the Olympics now. They use it in sports. The Czech Republic officially adopted Chechia as its shortened geographical name in 2016, they added it to the UN databases in July 2016. So the Czech Republic became official after Czechoslovakia split in 93. But Czech Republic and Chechia are the same thing in sports. They will use the shortened version. Maybe in more formal proceedings, they'll say Czech Republic. So when that's why, remember Dominik Hasek, the NHL goalie? For the Czech Republic,
yes.
When they won gold medal in the Olympics.
I used to hate him.
He was incredible. When he won the gold medal in the Olympics, it was the Czech Republic.
Yes.
It wasn't Chechia then. Because I thought I was losing my mind. I thought, well, wait, the Czech Republic won, but now I'm looking at these, the World Juniors, and it says Chechia. So anyway, Chechia is different than Chechnya. Chechnya is the Chechen Republic. A de facto semi-independent autonomous republic of Russia. And I think I remember that because wasn't the Boston bomber, the Boston Marathon bomber?
They were Chechens, I think.
Chechnians.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
See, couldn't speculate on this.
I don't know.
This is
know.
A pretty
Damn
big
it.
Thing to speculate on. Check on that. But Chechnya is different than Chechia.
Yeah. See, I only know about Chechia because I went out with a Czech Republic lady.
Really?
Once. Yeah. And she was a...
So recently, you went out with her after 2016?
No, this was... No, well, it was a while ago.
Because they didn't change it until 2016.
Well, I mean, I've had contact with her in the last 10 years. But it was prior to that. She owns a cleaning service.
You dated so many people.
she used to be a cleaning person.
Yeah.
She would clean houses.
But now she owns the service?
Now she owns the service.
Good for her.
Yeah.
But this is...
So, but it's still confusing. I think even though you have explained it, most people probably are like, I lost.
And probably people listening on the AM are like, what's the difference? What is she saying?
I don't know. Hon, can you hear her?
Yeah.
I don't know what she's saying.
Yes. And it was Chechnya, where the Boston Marathon bombers, not Chechia.
Yeah.
So there's the Czech Republic and the Chechen Republic. Anyway, and so there's that could be confusing. But in the Olympics, you will see Chechia also. I asked you guys this. When was the last time that the USA men's Olympic hockey team won gold medal?
So I know the answer to this, but I think
what was your first inclination?
My first inclination was the TJ Oshie year.
Yeah, like in the 2000s.
Yeah.
My first inclination was in the 2000s. Guys, the U.S. men's Olympic ice hockey team has not won gold since the 1980 Miracle
since
on
the
Ice. Isn't that wild?
I know. I don't know why. Why do we think that it was more recent than that? Why?
I think because the women's team has been so successful. And maybe somehow we're kind of merging the two.
Yeah.
Because the U.S. women's team and the rivalry with Canada, you know, rather famous, and the U.S. women's team has won. And it has to be that I just assumed the men's team occasionally won, too. But they haven't. They haven't won since 1980. This is a really good opportunity for this men's team because it is a stacked Team USA. The defense is stacked, but also Canada, you know, Canada's Canada.
Another sports note, completely off topic, but for anybody who has been paying attention to football in the last 20 years, you are aware of a man named Marshawn Lynch, who's one of the great football personalities, just a really interesting guy and funny. Anyway, 13 years ago today was the Beast Quake. Do you remember the Beast Quake?
No, what's the Beast Quake?
Oh, the Beast Quake was the 67-yard touchdown run that he had in the wild card game against the New Orleans Saints. And the legend is that it registered on the Richter scale because Seattle, they were in Seattle when it happened. And it was so loud. The crowd was so electric that it registered on the Richter scale.
Really?
Yeah.
The Beast Quake.
Yeah. So I think that's a fun little bit of sports lore. So happy 13-year anniversary. Can't believe it's been 13 years.
Wow. I mean, I can because I didn't remember it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It registered. I feel like I'm absorbing this information pretty well.
They do say that Seattle's football stadium is one of the louder stadiums. And it's because it's not that people in Seattle are naturally louder. It's that the building, the way it is constructed, it holds the sound really well.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that's great. You know?
I will say this. You sent me a video of Soldier Field during the Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, my God.
When the giant steel beam, like giant steel beams, because all of the fans, the adoring fans, were jumping up and down and singing, and these steel beams are going and just, I mean, moving. And I know some give is good. You want the steel beams to give a bit, but it was a bit disconcerting.
And, you know, don't worry. It's going to be that way again this Saturday night.
Yes,
you know
right.
why, Amy?
Because the Bears.
Bears-Packers.
Are going to win.
Bears-Packers, huge, huge game. You know what I've decided I'm going to do? I'm going to be at the Ballpark Village watch party.
Oh, that's smart. Are they having one?
They are having a Bears-Packers watch party.
Can I just say this as we go?
But it's mostly for Bears fans. So I would, you know, if you're a Packers fan, stay home.
Don't bother showing up.
Yeah, don't be there.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good to let people know. It's kind of you. I will say this. Chicago, man, poof, do they hate the Packers. During the Blues game, right before the Blues game, there was a moment of silence for Glenn Hall, original Blue, and another man who died. And they like honor these two great men and go, please join us in a moment of silence. And as soon as it got quiet, someone yelled, blank the Packers. And then people started joining in. And the whole moment of silence ruined.
And there
were some Blues and Blackhawks. Like, I'm pretty sure I heard some Let's Go Blues. So it wasn't all Packers, but it kind of opened the door for all heck to break loose.
That's so funny. It really is. And here's another thing that's funny. Look, it is a good football market up there. Bears fans are very good. Do you know this much? I know Pajeski knows this. And anybody who's a good football fan should know this.
Hey.
Listen, when you're at home, and let me know if you didn't know this, if you're a football fan and didn't know this, 314-436-7900. Did you know that when your team is on offense and you are at home, so you're watching, if the Rams were here and the Rams are playing a home game, did you know that you're supposed to be quiet?
Yes, everybody knows that. I mean, the greatest show on turf, it was because I was so quiet.
Yeah.
The dome would shh.
When your team is on offense, you be quiet. Do you know they're having, Bears players are having to tell the fans to shut up now? And this happened like 10, 15 years ago. They had to do it back then too. They were saying, hey, please be quiet because we can't hear the signals. We can't hear the call. I'm really disappointed. So just for future reference, you go to a football game and it's your team playing in your building. Don't talk.
They'll have a graphic.
They should.
They had a graphic at the dome.
So Major Garrett usually joins us at 10:30 on Thursdays, but we have just found out that he's on the way to Padres fantasy camp.
What?
Yeah, so he's not going to...
He's in his baseball outfit on the plane?
Yeah, I hope he is in the Padres outfit on the plane. So Major will not be joining us today, unfortunately, but you've still got Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Score is with you. And as Ronj mentioned, Major Garrett in his baseball outfit flying across the entire country from Washington, D.C. to San Diego for Padres Fantasy Camp.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. I did a fantasy camp once. Just this is for anybody who Cardinals have a fantasy camp. Mm-hmm. If you ever go to it, here's my recommendation. No matter how, whatever age you are,
yes.
If you're 30, if you're 85, make use of the trainers. They will have trainers there. They will have an ice bath there. If you could handle the ice bath, mm-hmm. and I recommend you power through because it's awesome, use it. But also use the trainers.
How many days did you go?
So I went 3 times, and you're there for about 5 days. And
you my gosh, that's a long camp.
It is a long, it's a long camp.
Because I did Blues Fantasy Camp.
Yeah.
Blues Alumni Fantasy Camp, so that might be different. But it was 2 days, and you got to play, and each team had 1 or 2 Blues alumni on it.
Okay.
You're in the locker rooms at Enterprise. It's pretty fun.
So ours was about 5 days, and it is, we played 2 7-inning games a day. So you do that for...
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot.
It's a lot
right?
of baseball.
It's a lot of baseball. So you don't think it's going to be.
Woof.
That's why they said to us, hey, don't be a hero. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to think you'll be all right. You're not going to be all right. Go use the trainers.
Yeah.
And so the trainers help a lot. So we have advised Major to use the trainers. And so he's going to go do that.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
What if it's your dream to go to Padres Fantasy Camp and you go and you're like, oh my gosh, Major Garrett's here. It's extra fantasy camp.
He's got to be the biggest celebrity. He's probably the biggest name that'll show up there, other than maybe some former Padres.
I know. That's pretty cool.
We had a guy. This is no joke. We had a guy who was 83, and he insisted. His name was Dave, and he insisted on catching. Mm-hmm. And he would catch both games of those 7-inning doubleheaders squatting.
Really?
He did all game. He did every single game. He didn't really talk to anybody. He just went out there, played, caught the games, then he went home.
That's pretty funny.
And we were like, how is this man doing this? 83 years old, he was behind the plate.
That's really funny. Now, my dad did the Cardinals fantasy camp years ago, but my dad was a decent athlete. He played college baseball, college soccer, and I don't remember the exact story, but I know Ricky Horton was pitching. And I think my dad, you know, having maybe he stood like a real baseball player. I'm not sure. But, you know, having played college ball, he was a decent hitter. And he said that Ricky brushed him off the plate. Ricky was like, no, you can back up a little bit.
Let me tell you something. There was a guy, a reliever, great guy named Don Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. And his nickname was the Pope Don Paul. And so.
Oh,
isn't that great?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
what
isn't
a great nickname.
So I knew him a little bit, and I remember I was hitting against him. He was pitching. And the guy was at the time, he was in the late 50s, I want to say, and maybe early 60s. I'm not exactly sure. And he, I have to go look. But he, I taunted him from the plate because I was being funny because I knew the guy. And I'm telling you, like, so normally they're supposed to just throw straight slow balls to you because they want you to hit. And the other coaches who are all former players would always yell at pitchers who were throwing too hard, like, hey, this isn't your fantasy camp. Just throw the ball so these guys can hit
That's
it, right?
Good.
So anyway, I taunted him a little bit from the plate and he was like, oh, okay. And he threw this thing and it was like it started in the sky and it ended up at my ankles and I swung through it and I was like, what the hell was that? Because it's like it
started
just,
in the. I mean, that's such a great description.
And it was like, you know, it gives you a sense of how good these people are.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't like this. You know, he wasn't like he wasn't Mariano Rivera in his career, right? He was just a reliever who pitched for a little bit, but he made it to the big leagues, and he was in his late 50s, and he's throwing these pitches they're like, man, when he was 30, that must have looked ridiculous coming at you.
Have you, there's a video of all of these Major League Baseball players, you know, position players, pitchers, being asked, if you took an average fan and you gave them 100 pitches and you told them what each pitch is going to be, curveball, fastball, sinker, would they be able to get a hit? Or how many hits would they get? And most of them said, no, no chance. Not a chance. And like with defense on the field, they would like specify. You got it. Infielders, outfielders? Yes. Not a chance.
I'd say it's...
One guy said maybe a swinging bunt hit.
I bet that you could, with 100 pitches, maybe you can, on accident, you could just hit one just right.
See, and here's where...
100 pitches is a lot.
Just being, realistic... I think your chances go down as the pitch count gets higher, because I've been to, paid $2 for the batting cages, and you get tired.
Yep.
And then you feel like you just can't swing anymore.
Right.
And that's why even in the All-Star game, the home run derby is something of a marathon session.
There's a similar question that people ask about NFL.
Yeah.
And it was, could you get 5 yards or something like that?
I thought
like
it was 10 yards.
Maybe it is 10. Against the real, like actual down. NFL defense, that if you have blockers, could you get 10 yards? And how many, I forgot how many tries they use, and every person's like, absolutely not.
No, because you would die.
Yeah.
Who did we have? Oh my gosh, was it an offensive lineman that we had in studio?
We had him on?
Mm-hmm. Does he play for Tampa Bay? Oh my gosh.
Okay,
oh.
Battlehawks?
No, NFL. Because he was doing a special... camp.
I cannot remember. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
And basically, he was talking about how, big these guys are. And he goes, we're freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys are freaks. And there's enough freaks to make a league, which blows my mind, because they're superhuman. When this guy walked into the studio, I mean, if he accidentally bumped into me, I would probably die.
Was it Brandon Williams? That sound right?
No.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. I will say one hit and I'm broken completely and I'm dead. None of it makes sense. If you watch an NFL game at field level, it does not make sense.
So I think it does make sense that you've got, all right, you have a country of like 340 million people. It would make sense that at any given time, there are about 1,700 who could do that.
I don't know.
They could be that big and that strong.
But so funny that you say that, because I was running this morning with my buddy and he was talking about the NBA, and he's like, is it the size of the country that there's 350 million people, so you're going to have guys that are 7 feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a funny theory. He had something to do with McDonald's. I forgot what it was. Somehow he was tying it into the fact that we have McDonald's. But yes, when you have numbers like that, because other big countries like China has some basketball players or whatever. It just depends on what your country values as far as a sport or recreation.
What I think is an interesting conversation, and there have been books written about this, how there are 340, 50 million people in the United States, yet we can't field a real, true... I don't want to insult the soccer people.
Soccer team. We don't have a good soccer team.
I was about to say world-class soccer team, and I guess we do have that, but we just can't get over that ridge, right?
Do you think it's...
And so... My personal opinion is that the best athletes in the country, they tend to move away from soccer by the time they get to a certain age. They might play when they're kids, but then they have shifted to either basketball or baseball or football. And so we don't have our best, God-gifted athletes playing soccer. Well, some of them do. Some of them choose it, but many of them move away from it by the time they get to a certain age.
And the reason why you can back this up is because you're implying, you're talking about men. A lot of the best female athletes play soccer. That's why the women's team has been so good, right? The women's team, when women's soccer does not have the equivalent of women's Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, and NBA, that are filtering out athletes from the soccer world into other sports.
Well, now there's a WNBA that does get a lot of really great athletes.
But that's what I mean.
But there's no baseball. There's no softball.
That's
there's
my
no
point.
Football.
You have two leagues basically for the best athletes as far as team sports go.
Right.
And yes, there's professional women's hockey, but you know it's pretty global. It's not as big as the WNBA. So if you were to take the best athletes from Major League Baseball, if you were to take some of the best basketball players and hockey players, you would think that some of their skills would be able to translate on the soccer pitch.
Well, think about it. You would only really need an additional five great athletes to make the U.S. men's team amazing.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we just say, hey, we're pulling the Kachuk brothers and LeBron?
Well, LeBron would fit in great on a soccer pitch, fall down all the time, even though he's bigger than everybody.
Let's just pull some guys.
Nobody in basketball acts like he has been hit with a baseball bat like LeBron.
Really?
Oh my God, he is a prolific flopper. I know he doesn't have to. He acts like he gets elbowed in the face once a game, and they don't even come close to it.
It's like it does feel a little bit like a freight train being like, this car hit me.
And LeBron has never really done anything off the court that's, you know, because some of these athletes are just jerks and they do bad stuff. Yeah. He doesn't, right? He's led a pretty good, you know, decent life in that way. Like he's not one of these jerk athletes, but man, is he irritating to watch because he's so gifted and strong and big and fast. And his career is getting toward the tail end, and he's played for 20 years and he doesn't need to flop. Stop flopping.
Stop the flop.
All right. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. Check into the show, won't you? 314-436-7900. We have an Odyssey app, you know, and from the app you can chime in, you can leave a voice message, and we hope you do. Bernie Miklas and me, we will be on the Gas House Gang. That's coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll talk football then as well on KMOX. Take a look at our Twitter poll on Chris Amy KMOX. At Chris Amy KMOX. You should be following us. And we have our question of the week. And with the playoffs coming up, football playoffs, wild card weekend is this weekend. The Rams are playing against the Panthers. And it has been 10 years. In fact, 10 years and 5 days since the Rams had been the St. Louis Rams. They played their final game January 3rd of 2015. As the St. Louis Rams. And so we are wondering, with a decade having passed, are you still hate watching them? And you have three options on our Twitter account. So the question of the week, are you hate watching the Los Angeles Rams still? Your options are, I still hate the Rams, I'm indifferent about it, or I'm still a Rams fan. That last one is really interesting to me. And you know, this poll is going to run until tomorrow, and I think this is going about the way I thought it would go, except I'm a little surprised at the percentage of people who are still Rams fans. I feel like it should be lower.
Maybe they're trolls. Could be a couple.
People who just like the chaos?
A couple percentage points of trolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
That makes a lot of sense. John from Dallas texted into the show, and he says he tuned in for Major, enjoyed the 8 minutes of riffing he was treated to instead.
Hmm.
Well, we had to riff because Major Garrett is off to Padres fantasy camp.
Well, and that's
why we... Big San Diego Padres fan.
Yeah, and that's why we had the baseball topic, because that's what Major's doing. I mean, he's got the baseball outfit on, the socks. He's going to go hit some pitches. Speaking of that, we did talk about could the average person get a hit if a Major League Baseball pitcher threw 100 pitches, but you told the person what each pitch was going to be. Could that person get a hit? We have a texter, 314, says, with 100 pitchers, the average person would make contact on 10, maybe put two in play, but zero are able to beat out an infield single or
a duck snort.
A duck snort to right field. So then it's down to luck on the two. Meaning not just make contact, but get a hit with infielders and outfielders. I feel like it's zero, but
I think it's one or less. That's kind of where I stand on it.
Yeah.
And there's a texter who says there was a TV show called Average Joe where people took on professional athletes. And it's funny they mention this because there's a Chicago Sun-Times writer named Joe Cowley. And when A.J. Pierzynski, who played for the Cardinals for a very brief moment, was the backup to Yadier Molina. And A.J. was here and he played for the White Sox back then. They did one of those, like for fun. They did a, I think they called it Pro versus Joe or something. And so Joe decided he was going to, because the knock on A.J. Pierzynski is that he didn't throw anybody out at second. That when a guy was trying to steal a base, A.J. would just not throw him out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes would do the thing where he would pop up to throw and then drop the ball. And he would do it on purpose. So that because it didn't count against, when you do that as a catcher, it doesn't count against your caught stealing number. So if
really?
He would, yes. So if he would pop up to throw and could see in the moment that he wasn't going to get the guy out, he would just drop the ball. And he did it all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So, and everybody loved AJ. Sox fans thought he was the best. And so they decided, because he would, that was the one bit of criticism, is that he didn't throw anybody out at second base. So they decided to do this Pro versus Joe thing. And I'm telling you, like, AJ considered really bad at throwing out runners. But when Joe ran against him, I mean, didn't even, he was out by 15 feet every single time. You know, it just, it gives you an idea of how good professional athletes are relative to the rest of us.
Yeah.
They're just.
And it's a good reminder as we head into the Olympics, because, I mean, I'll be sitting on my couch with a bag of Doritos judging a figure skater. Oh, she wobbled on the landing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how'd she. Oh, yeah. She didn't hold her leg very straight.
Oh, look at this loser.
The skier.
Look at Dan Jansen. Remember Dan Jansen, the guy who fell, the speed skater? Like, oh, look at this loser.
Or the skiers when they have all the checkpoints as they're doing like the giant slalom, and it will show you green if they're ahead of the leader or red if they're behind.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, this person's been red the whole time. This person's so slow. They're so bad. I mean, you're going 80 miles an hour.
We mentioned that Major Garrett, our usual Thursday guest, is off to Padres fantasy camp, and a texter wants to know, how old is Major Garrett?
Young
He's
at
63.
Heart. Young at heart.
I'm That's telling young. You, when I went to a fantasy camp, there, I told you there was an 83-year-old catching two games a day.
It's the only people that can afford it. Old people.
It is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a few thousand dollars. But it is, if you ever have the means to do it, it is a lot of fun. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji, hour three of the show is next. And don't forget, Gas House Gang coming up, Bernie Miklas and me on 104.1 FM KMOX. That's at noon.